Welcome to Season 3 of Soccer Over Gotham, an NWSL podcast covering New Jersey, New York, Gotham FC. Hosted by Ruby Pinto and Gary Gibson. Welcome to Episode 79 of Soccer Over Gotham. This is the last episode before the World Cup, and we have another great show for all of you. Gary, what do we have in this episode?
We got a lot. So we got two home games in a row without a rain delay. We're on a roll. Gotham takes care of business in a 2-1 victory against the Thorns. We say goodbye to a legend of the sport. Abby Smith is having an unreal season. Another save of the week. We're about to start the hashtag Abby for MVP campaign. No guests this week. We're starting to break early. Let's just get started. Ruby, how are you?
I'm doing well. I've been having a little more sleep than usual, so that's good. So I'm energetic today. That's good. But I have a question. Why is summer going by so fast? I still haven't had a chance to go to the beach, so I don't have a tan. I feel like this summer is about to be over, and hopefully I get to go to the beach soon. Do you like the beach? Do you like going to the beach?
I do like going to the beach. I just haven't been I know I'm far now, but I think there's got to be a beach near me at some point. You know, when the summer of Gary hits, it's going to be back to the beach for me. I enjoy it.
I know. I love the beach. Haven't had time to go, but hopefully I'll go. If not, whatever. There's always next year, yeah. I guess.
But Ruby, another week, another hashtag manifestation, a goal from a player who hasn't scored a goal yet. Stengel did it. And also, I want to point out that July 7th was National Black Women in Sports Day. Shout out to all the women of color changing the sport for all of us, especially our friends Diaspora United and Shea Butter FC podcast, and friend of the show Nubia, of course.
Yes.
There's so many. We aim to feature more Black women's voices on our show. That's a promise we make to you guys, and we're hopefully going to keep it. That being said, when we return from the break, our first guest to help us cover the U.S. Women's National Team is Renee Washington of MSG Networks. Super excited. All right, let's go to a podcast update. Our recording schedule is going to be all over the place for the World Cup. The only way we can get episodes out with 2 days towards game days is midweek Challenge Cup games, all the other stuff that's going to throw our way. However, I can't wait for our guests. It should be a fun experiment. We'll try to get the notice of when our episodes are coming out soon.
Yeah, we're going to do our best. And yep, it should be fun. We started this podcast 2 years ago, so this is the first time we're covering the World Cup, and the U.S. Women's National Team is the team to beat right now as they're looking to get a three-peat. I am super excited for this World Cup and just to talk about the games, give our predictions, and just share perspectives with our guests.
Yeah, so it's a good way to take the show in a new direction, and I'm excited for it. But let's get over to some team news. Naomi Kawasumi agreed to a mutual release from the roster with the team. One of the best players to ever do it. Every player should take note of how much of a professional she is. She made everyone around her better. An honor to watch her work. A legend of the sport. Her run with Japan to the World Cup is one of the greatest sports stories of all time. She's an incredible athlete, and we're better for watching her play.
Yes. Yes. That World Cup was very emotional and very, very inspiring. Not too long ago, Endo from Angel City recently said that when she was younger and the tsunami hit, she was thinking of quitting playing soccer. And then Japan won the World Cup in 2011. Look where she's at now. She's going to a World Cup. It's just amazing.
Yeah, she's inspired so many people, and myself is included in that. And Amoros says, I never imagined that I was going to be able to coach someone like Naho. I hope every coach has the experience to have someone like her on the team. Naho has made me better, has made our staff better, has opened many eyes on how a team player needs to be. And on top of that, she's an unbelievable person. Agreed.
She really is unbelievable. And, you know, this season with the change of head coach, Kawasumi has not played many minutes, so it is understandable that if you feel that you're not needed or you do not fit the new style of play, you want to leave the club and just look for a new team that will give you minutes. That's understandable. I mean, she's a really good player. Her vision of the game is incredible. A true legend, like you said.
Yeah, it's a little sad because this was the end of her contract. She only had a couple more months left, and I really wanted to send her off with this team with hopefully some type of hardware, but it is what it is. We wish you luck, Naho. All right, we're here to break down a game, so let's go ahead and do it. On the injuries, Amani Dorsey is still out. Sabrina Flores is still out with her foot. Taylor Smith is still on the disabled list, 45-day list for her thigh. Taryn Torres is still out. Questionable is Kristen Edmonds. And international players we're going to be covering in the World Cup are going to be Ifeanyi Onumonu, Sinead Farrelly, Bruninha, Lynn Williams, Christy Mewis, and Kelly O'Hara. Onto this formation, this is where it gets a little bit interesting. We have Jenna Neiswanger, Krieger, Jean, and Freeman, the same back line as last week. In midfield, we have Ali Long, Delaney Sheehan in the 10, and Neely Martin. And across the front, we got Yasmin Ryan on one side, Purse on the other, and Katie Stengel makes her debut with this club. Your thoughts on this lineup, Ruby?
We have Stengel in the starting lineup. Honestly, I wasn't expecting this. It was unexpected to see her starting so soon, but it does make sense considering that she's here on a loan for a limited period of time. It's nice to see her there. Gotham has to capitalize on her skills and make the most of her presence while she's with the team right now.
Yeah, she's fit. Let's get it going. I don't think there was any real surprises here. I was just kind of expecting Stengel to start. Amros likes what he sees in Freeman at right back. Welcome back, Mitch, to the starting 11. Again, let's go, Katie. All right, let's give our overall thoughts and takeaways. Before we start, I'm driving an hour and a half, and because of the rain, it's about an hour and 45, close to 2 hours to get to the stadium. I get there at 5:15. I'm like, just in time. I'm walking in, and I hear a roar. I'm thinking, do they have the U.S. Women's National Team game on the monitor or something? Then I start hearing drums, and I'm like, what is going on here? How long did it take me to get from my car to the stadium? I get on the concourse and I see it's like minute six.
Yeah.
Nobody tells me anything. It worked out in the end. And oh yeah, of course, when I got to my seats, there was Portland fans in there. So Ruby, I totally missed the almost red card in Bixby early in the match when she took Ryan out, which was way outside the box. Anyway, much of the first half, Gotham is not really pressing, but still playing a very high line. Very much like Houston played under Amoros, high and wide wingers sending in service to the nine. Long gets one off of a wild deflection, and then Stengel nearly gets one off a wild shot, ricochet, hits the post. This was an energetic an attack as we've seen all season, just shooting from anywhere. And Midge puts on an absolute show. Again, welcome back to the starting 11, Midge. We missed you. Chances on both ends. It was pretty open. Your thoughts on this wild first half, Ruby?
Love this game. But first of all, only 6 minutes into the game and they took your seat.
I know.
That's funny. I mean, at least wait like 20, 30 minutes, you know, just to make sure no one's going to come and like kick you out of the seats. I don't know. Sometimes that's what I do, but don't tell anyone. Anyway, moving on to the game. In her first start since returning from injury, Midge Purse had a fantastic performance. Her speed and goal-scoring instincts were evident, even though she was not able to score, which is sad because, like you said, she put on a show. She was shooting from everywhere. She was trying and trying and trying, but nothing came out of it. However, as we mentioned last week, on last week's episode, it is important for Midge to have support in the attack.
She's like a video game. She can just... The ball is just stuck to her feet and she can just get around players and you can't knock her off the ball. She's got a great low center of gravity. She's just incredible. She put it all on display in that first half. These first halves have been, the past couple games, pretty slow, but not this one. Yeah. This one was action end to end.
Yes, a lot of action. And I really like that when it's like back and forth game because, you know, more excitement. Like if they score on you, like try not for them to score on you. Like it's just so good when that happens. But while this team is really talented and has really talented individuals, I think the key lies in building a cohesive unit where the ball flows smoothly and the team collaborates to create those scoring opportunities.
Yeah, I just want to point out one last thing about this first half. There was a complete miss by the refs not calling a handball on the shot Ryan takes in stoppage time. It is in plain sight of the ref. I rewatched the game. He's looking directly at it. The ball clearly starts going up and then sharply jumps back down. The defender's arm is clearly extended. I think the ref just wanted to get the halftime, maybe. But if looks could kill, look at Ryan. Did you see the pictures I put on the notes?
She wanted to kill the ref. But let me tell you, she's like staring him down like mean mugging. If you guys want to go check it out, it's on minute 45, and it's like into the additional 4 minutes, the third minute. Anyway, I wanted to add to this about the ref. Like, some of these calls, he was a little soft. Like you said, the call on Bixby, to me, it was probably a red. But I guess it was like the beginning of the game, you don't really want to be that harsh. So he gave her a yellow. And then all these handballs, those handballs like were evident. And he was like, nope. Nothing. So, yeah, I think we probably would have ended with like 3-1. So why do we have a bar? That's my question now.
Yeah, in some ways it's helped. In some ways the refs rely too much on it.
Yeah.
Again, you know how I feel about refs. They're human. First of all, they're human. You always see them as like an obstacle you just have to overcome, like the field conditions. And I always feel like as a player, even if a ref does make a call that changes the complexion of the game and it was a one goal game and the ref makes that call and it goes against your team, as a player, I'm always in my head going like, why did I put the ref in a position where he could do that to me? Right.
Yeah.
So I always like put it on myself and not the ref. So that's kind of the way my perspective is on refs. But let's get over to some player notes. Freeman, I think, has been a fine right back replacement. I thought this was a competent performance thus far, and I feel that an underrated skill of Mandy is her passing range. She's always one of the top progressive passers on the pitch. If you go to Twitter at @OverGothamPod, after every game I post the post-game stats thread, and I rely a lot on Ariel Dior, and she puts these beautiful pass maps together and progressive pass maps. And you can see for the past couple of games, Mandy's been one of the top progressive players on the pitch. And what a progressive action is one, anything with a pass or a dribble that brings you 25 yards closer to the goal than when you started.
That's really important because it brings you closer to the goal. And Mandy is a really great player. And she's been a consistent player. I mean, in 2017, she was selected number 10 overall pick in the 2017 college draft. She made her NWSL debut that season with 21 appearances. And during those matches, she made one assist, had 71 clearances, 14 blocks, and 42 interceptions. Then in 2018, 21 appearances, 65 clearances, 15 blocks, and 40 interceptions. 2019, she had no appearances due to injury. And then she was back in 2020, but she only had 4 appearances. But she created 9 clearances, 3 blocks, and 3 interceptions. And then 2021, throughout the regular season, she played 11 matches, making 8 starts. And during these matches, she posted 31 clearances and had an 85.7% passing rate. I mean, amazing. Now in 2022, she appeared in 17 matches and she started in 16 of those.
Yeah, she's perpetually underrated. This matchup that I was most concerned about last game or last week when we talked about it was Weaver versus our right back. I think she passed the test with flying colors.
Yeah, she did.
On to the second half. Much like the first half, it's continuous action end to end. Abby makes an unreal kick save on Klingenberg early. Then, what a goal. Nyswanger again with beautiful service. Midge, I don't know how she got her body around to get that ball on frame. It was a looping header. Bixby fumbles it. And then, welcome to Gotham. Katie Stengel finishes the play. Gotham takes their foot off the gas a little bit after this. Kind of just dares Portland to come forward. Portland gets one back after Gotham gets a little too complacent. Kawasumi comes in late in her send-off match, and Gotham gets the big home win. Your thoughts in the second half, Ruby?
Nyswanger came in really clutch in this game. And you know what? I am so excited to watch Stengel play for Gotham these couple of months. And I kind of feel sad because it is only going to be for a few months, especially since she made such an impact on her debut with Gotham. I mean, 3 points for Gotham. That's a great way to start the season and also a great way to send off Kawasumi.
Certainly is. This game was a little bit too close for comfort in my book. I think the Red Bulls had superhero night on Saturday night in that arena. The real superhero in that arena was Abby Smith. What an absolute amazing performance.
Yeah. I mean, both keepers made just enormous saves. But once again, Abby Smith proves to be instrumental in securing another victory for Gotham. She made exceptional saves and she deserves all the praise. But, you know, at some point you have to ask, where can defense improve to avoid all these crazy saves Abby has to make like every game?
Yeah, but she's coming out big and she's quick off her line and she's taking the right angles and she's just doing all the right things. And what a season she's had. We're going to get to that a little bit later as well. But I think that Martin has been quietly doing her job. She's smart on the ball. And who doesn't love a long throw-in specialist?
Yep.
Let's get to some player notes. If anything, having Katie highlights the need for this team to have a true number nine. Delaney isn't really a nine, but we're trying to make her one. Lynn isn't a true number nine. She's played her entire career as a dual nine with McDonald as an example. She floats wide. She drops in the midfield, sometimes all the way back into defense. But Stengel didn't do any of that. She stayed central. She occupied the center backs. She got physical with them, was a big target on a lot of crosses. She's a presence in the box, held the ball up. Players could run off of her. And the goal, pure striker's goal. She just stayed alive and followed the shot and got to the second ball before everyone else did.
Her ability to anticipate and react quickly in the box, it was really crucial in securing the goal. It's impressive to see her effectiveness and just bringing a different dimension to Gotham's attack. I mean, Midge had a similar situation where Stengel shot the ball and it deflected on the defender. Midge was in front of goal and the ball kind of lands near her, but she was not ready for it. And she did not anticipate it. So, I mean, they were both similar yet different. But I just want to highlight the importance of being aware and anticipate the play. I mean, overall, Midge did fantastic. But just pointing out the little details.
Yeah, that shot that Katie took was on frame before it got blocked. That would have been a second goal for her. But let's just talk about Midge again, can't we? She's one of the few players that where as soon as she gets on the ball and turned, the defender immediately goes into backpedal stance because Midge is going to drive at you and she's going to beat you.
Yep. Again, every time like Midge comes like that, I just think about the meme with the train and just like running over the school bus. I'm just so happy to see her back with the team and just doing her thing.
Special player. There are some things, Ruby, as must-win games. This really wasn't one of them. However, if Gotham wanted to keep pace with the top of the table, you don't get many chances to play Portland without their national teamers. This was a big win. And if you look at the season in a holistic sense, it's definitely a big win.
Absolutely. I mean, taking into account the season as a whole, like this victory holds great significance for Gotham. And it just showcases their ability to capitalize on opportunities that are presented by the absence of their national team players.
You have to control what you can control. And Gotham is in a great spot with so much momentum. A week or two ago, I thought the Shield was pretty much out of reach. I'm starting to feel like the Shield could come home. This is the home stretch. We are 1 point from first. Imagine that. Worst to first. Let's do it. Let's win everything. Let's go.
Let's go. LFG. I mean, we're closer. We're getting closer and closer every week. If they're able to pull it off, it will be epic.
Yeah, we all deserve it. The players do. I know. The fans do. And guess what? We deserve it too.
I know.
All right. Let's go back to Katie Stengel for a little bit. I think we see the next evolution of this roster is, I think, getting a true nine. It allows Williams to float outside, Midge on the other, Ryan as well. It frees up Lynn to do what she does best. I like that. I like Stengel. We got to do whatever we can to get her to want to stay here.
I know. I was just thinking that, like, is there any possibilities to, like, keep her for a year or two. I mean, she's incredible. If not, I think we will have to start looking into the college players to see who fits that nine position.
Yeah, indeed. It was a really nice send-off for Kawasumi, letting the number nine play in the number nine. A great little ceremony after. It really seems like a mutual decision by both parties, which I was initially skeptical of. But as always, hashtag once Gotham, always Gotham. Best of luck, Naho. You'll be missed. That video with Cloud Nine was special.
Oh my God, the video was amazing of her just coming to where Cloud Nine is and just dancing and singing with them. It was amazing. They gave her some flowers. They were beautiful. And I think it was, like you said, it was in the best interest for both parties. I mean, Kawasumi was an important player while she played for Sky Blue and Gotham. And one unforgettable moment during the 2020 Challenge Cup was when Sky Blue faced the Houston Dash and Kawasumi scored an incredible goal from nearly half of the soccer field. That was amazing.
Yeah, that was incredible. Took it down, one touch off the bounce. Yeah, that was beautiful. Let's get some post-game quotes. Amro says on Jenna Neiswanger that she's adapting to the new position, which is not so new anymore. But I think she's one of the most dangerous players, if not the most dangerous player at the midfield position. I don't know if anyone is creating as many goals as she has from that position. And being a rookie, she deserves a lot of credit for the effort and the work that she's putting in.
He is very, very talented as a rookie. And what a great draft pick for Gotham that she has been. She's shown all her talent since the beginning, and she has scored two goals. And she kind of reminds me a little bit of Didasco. The only difference is that Jenna has a powerful kick, and her kicks are dangerous. At this point, all I want is for her to score more goals.
Yes. Speaking of Jenna scoring goals, Allie Long said on whether the goal went in before she touched it, she said, okay, no. Was it already in? No. Was it going in? Probably. Wanted to make sure there wasn't a defender coming to clear it off the line. Sure, Allie. Hashtag Jenna was robbed. I stand by that. That's a hill I'm going to die on. That was Jenna's goal.
I mean, controversy. Whose goal was it? Is this another, like, the white gold dress, blue black dress? I don't know what colors it were. Anyway, I mean, from some angles, it looked like it was Allie's goal. But then from another angle, it looks like it was totally Jenna's goal. At the end of the day, it was Gotham's goal.
Yes, I've had that happen a bunch of times during my career.
But that kind of sucks, right?
Yeah.
You do feel robbed. Like, you feel robbed. Like, that was my goal. Anyway.
Yeah. The next day of practice, you just have to make it up to the player.
like, sorry, dude.
Yeah. All right. So what are your stats of the game?
So, I mean, this game was incredible for Abby Smith. So Abby Smith with 4 huge saves and with 3 saves inside the box. She's just killing it.
She is killing it. And she was I would say maybe a dozen or so votes away from getting the player of the week, too. I'm mad about that. But anyway, she got another save of the week. How many has that been?
I lost count by now, right? But I'm pretty sure she's on the top of the list right now of saves of the week.
Yeah, has to be. My stat of the week is that we scored on 2 big chances. Remember that from last episode?
Woo! Yeah, we scored, but still no goals from a corner.
All right, we'll get that next time. A new segment, alert. We are going to be adding in Jenna Tonelli's Dominus Meter. You should all know what that is by now. If not, go to Twitter. It was a 4 candy corn out of 5 dominance scale win for Gotham. And that's not bad. The thing about Jenna's scale, it is undebatable.
Jenna would say Gotham had a dominant game. But this is really cool. I mean, you guys have to go check it out on Twitter. This Jenna Tonelli's dominance scale. Some people were saying just name it the Tonelli scale. I think that's short. It's nice. I love it. And, you know, candy corn season is around the corner. But for Jenna, it's just all year round.
Yeah, it's a work in progress. We'll get there. Player of the week. Let's get to our player of the week on Twitter at Over Gotham Pod. Fans chose Smith. Thanks to all the fans who voted. Do you agree, Ruby?
Absolutely. Abby Smith is having an incredible season, like we've been saying this whole show. I mean, she's been making these tough saves. She's been winning saves of the week. I mean, just tough saves week in, week out, keeping Gotham in the game. And also, she's been a big factor why they will make it to the playoffs.
Yeah, she's playing out of her mind. I think she's the goalkeeper of the year right now. I don't even think it's close. She made a big time save in the first half. And you know how we're always saying that, like, Abby makes that one save each week? Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking to myself, well, there's that one save she needed to make. All right, we're done. But in the second half, she made two more saves, a save of the week candidate saves. It was incredible. She's unreal. But the question is, Ruby, it's never been done before in the league's history. Can Abby be the first MVP of this league as a keeper? Hashtag Abby for NWSL MVP. Let's get it going.
MVP. MVP. I mean, anything is possible at this point. Like we've been saying, she's just had an incredible season so far. So it's possible. I think it's possible.
If it's any season, it's this season, because all of the national team players and all the top scorers are away with the national team. So they're not going to be scoring as many goals as they would if they played the entire season. So there is an opening for Abby to sneak her way in there, and I hope she gets it. But yeah, so let's go, fans. Let's get that hashtag starting, and we'll start nudging the NWSL in that direction. But let's get to the standings, Ruby. What we got?
So it is week 15, and the standings are, we have in number one, North Carolina, number two, Portland Thorns, number three, Gotham FC, number four, OL Reign, number five, Washington Spirit, number six, San Diego Wave, number seven, Louisville, number eight, Orlando Pride, number nine, we have Houston Dash, number 10, Angel City, number 11, Chicago Red Stars, they move up one spot, and number 12, Kansas City Current. So Gotham is slowly climbing to first place again, which is a result of their hard work, honestly. And right now, currently, players are on break. And the next time Gotham plays, it's on July 23rd. The next four games are going to be Challenge Cup matches for Gotham. So we will not see this table move until August 18th when regular season matches restart.
Chaos never escapes the NWSL. And this season, early in the season, I was thinking those top six teams are going to separate at some point and then take off and then drop those bottom six to the bottom of the table and just leave them there. But man, this has been craziness. All these teams are so packed together. That's why I think it might be wrong on my 33 points, because it's just been like nobody is just pushing themselves and getting away from this pack. It's been so tight. It's very, very interesting. I mean, Racing is 2 points from the line. We are 1 point from first place. And the team below us, even San Diego Wave, 4 points below us, and they're number six. So it's just so crazy how tight this table is, and incredible. Speaking of that, every top six team faltered without their national team players this week, but we didn't. Well, that puts us in a really good spot. Again, 1 point from first. That it was a big, big win. Again, we talked about those calculations. I may be off a little bit, but let's keep going anyway. 25 points at this point. 8 points from seven games to hit that 33. We can almost Scott Parkinson our way to the playoffs. Let's not do that. Yeah. Also, Ruby, I think there's seven games left in the season and no teams have a game in hand, which is pretty crazy for this league and hasn't been that way since we've been covering it. Last season, we had 4 or 5 games in hand at this point.
Yep. Yeah, and we were really counting on those games in hand. I mean, they didn't really work out, but it gave us hope. But by now, having like everyone played 15 games and no games in hand, I mean, that's called progress to me. And hopefully next year, we get this schedule earlier and not 1 day earlier like this year, but at least a month earlier, please.
Yeah, progress, but still chaos. Next game for us is the 23rd against the Orlando Pride Challenge Cup. Hopefully, we get to play this one this time.
Exactly. Hopefully, no rain delay. Hopefully, no smoke, nothing. Please let them play.
Yes. All right, your thoughts on this matchup, Ruby?
Messiah Bright is a dynamic player. She is the rookie with the most goals this season. So far, she has 4 goals. this team is just slowly climbing to the top of the table. I think they are like a team that doesn't give up. And I think that we're in good shape and we should be able to win this. I'm going to say 2-0. Gotham's going to win.
Okay. They are, as you said, a feisty bunch. And I thought they would be a little bit more harmed by their national teamers because they relied on this so much with Adriana and Marta. But they're still fighting. And that now their players have been stepping up. And it's been interesting. They just beat Washington 3-0 and OL 1-0. It should be a good one. They will be home in this one. Mm-hmm. But what are we manifesting during this break, Ruby?
I'm just going to keep manifesting for a goal from Midge until she scores. She's been so close and she's been trying so hard. It's just right for her to get a goal and keep manifesting. What about you?
I am manifesting sleep for myself
during this break. I mean, that sounds good too. So far, you've been on point with your manifesting. So I'm pretty sure I see some sleep in your future.
Okay. I hope so. I've been doing some things that for my mental health that I haven't done in a while. Like I'm exercising a little bit more, putting my studies down a little bit, but I'm like, I have to get back to what was making me happy before doing all this stuff. And then I'm reading a book again. I used to read like 3 books a month on average before college. And then now I haven't read any in like 2 years and it's killing me. So I'm like 3 hours from finishing one book, which I'm really, really enjoying. And I can't wait to knock that one out just so I can say I did that.
That's really cool. And I'm actually really happy that you are taking care of yourself and trying to do the things that make you happy and be healthy. And funny that you mentioned that because myself too, I'm trying to get back on track. Last couple of months have been like a little bit of chaos, gain a little bit of weight. I'm like, I need to start walking. So I started walking and reading too. So I'm going to reread, I have it here, The Four Agreements. So I'm going to start that one again. It's a really great book.
That book changed my life. I was going through a lot of stuff when I was a kid. That was one of the first books I found, and it just changed everything. And The Mastery of Love by him is amazing as well. Definitely read that one next.
This book makes you see life, the world, and yourself in a different way that you never thought. And it's just really, really good. Like, it really makes you think. And pretty much for me, it's like, why am I being so hard on myself? You know, like, so I just love that book. So I'm going to reread that book because it makes me happy.
Yeah. It's basically like if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're having a bad time or you're upset or angry, essentially you're breaking one of those four agreements with yourself.
That's right.
Yeah. Do you have any random thoughts before we go?
Just join our book club. I'm just kidding.
Should start a book club. All right. My random thought is I just want to thank all the fans who invested in our project. We aim to inform you, the listener, of up-to-date news and information surrounding Gotham FC and the NWSL. We also aim to arm you with so much information that you feel like you're an expert on this club and feel connected to this club, its players, and its supporter group, Cloud9, by telling their stories. We can't do it alone. Our show relies on so many other people that I'm just indebted to and internally grateful for. They know exactly who they are. Ultimately, this is a community project that involves your voice through fan polls and other interactions. We want you to feel like you're a part of this show, and we're always thinking of you guys and new ways to get you involved in the process. I always listen to your input, and I want this show to be something that you're proud of and is proud to share with others. Ultimately, we want to persuade our listeners and others to invest in this team and ultimately the growth of this sport. We want to help push forward the vision that we all have as fans of what this league can be. We want to enact change for the betterment of the players' health, safety, and their sanity. And then lastly, we hope to entertain you just for a little bit, to make you laugh, to turn your head off for a little bit. This project is a lot of fun for the both of us. We hope it is for you as well. Thanks for taking this ride with us. We will see you guys after the break. You ready for this break, Ruby?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Let's go. Hi, everyone. This is Gary. Thank you for listening and supporting our project. Here are other ways you can support the show and connect with us. First, word of mouth is everything. So please share our show with anyone who might listen. Also, please rate us 5 stars on Spotify and review us on iTunes. You can purchase our merchandise at the T Public store. Join in the conversation on Twitter at OverGothamPod and Instagram at SoccerOverGotham. Lastly, you can email your thoughts and questions at SoccerOverGotham@gmail.com. Once again, thank you.
Let me start it over.